Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. If people aren't serving where God wants them to serve in the local church, the whole ministry is shortchanged. Today, we'll learn what spiritual gifts are and why it's so vital that we find out which gift we have. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. We've begun a four-part series on finding where you fit, a look at God's unique place of service for every believer. As Dr. Lutzer asks each of us to unwrap your gift, turn with us to 1 Corinthians chapter 12.
In the early church, there were those who would foretell the future. Prophecy is also preaching and sharing the word of God. And I don't mean standing behind a pulpit and preaching. It may be being able to give that word of exhortation. Prophets are always very hard on sin. They have a great hatred for hypocrisy, and therefore prophets are often not well liked. Distinguishing of spirits. Jesus said that someday there may be those who would come before him and say, "Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in your name we have done many wonderful works." And Jesus will say to them, "I never knew you. You are workers of iniquity." The distinguishing of spirits. How desperately that is needed today. Because within the church today, you have those who think that everything that is supernatural is of God as long as it is done in the name of Jesus. Not so. The miracles in the 7th chapter of Matthew done in the name of Christ. Christ will say, "I never knew you." So that is a gift. And then tongues and the interpretation of tongues. There are also two other gifts that are listed a little later in the chapter, and we can pick those up in verse 28 near the end of the verse. It says, helps and administration. Two other gifts. Now, if you take Romans chapter 12, which you should do sometime, and also Ephesians 4, and you take those passages, you find that there may be 19 or 20 different gifts. And because the list does not seem to be exhaustive in any particular passage, it may be that Paul says these are the kinds of ways that God gifts people for the body. For example, music is not listed, and yet we know that there are those who have special musical gifts. The Apostle Paul would not be opposed to that. He would encourage that. It is that these are the ways by which gifting takes place, that the church might be edified. Now, we're all very different. And we like to be the same. We'd like to have everybody, the teachers would like to have everybody teach. The administrators would like to have everybody administrate. Those with the gifts of helps would like to have everybody have that eye for need, as those who have the gift of helps have. Exhorters would like everybody to be exhorters. The fact is that the body is more diverse than that. There is a story which one of our pastors gave me, which he used once, and I asked him for a copy. He says, "Once upon a time, long ago, all the animals decided to form a school." I'm sure it was probably homeschooling, but anyway. "They established a well-rounded curriculum of swimming, running, climbing, and flying. Now, to make it easier to monitor the program, all the animals took all the courses. The duck was excellent at swimming. In fact, he was better than his instructor, but he only made passing grades in climbing and was very poor in running. In fact, he was so slow he had to stay after school to practice his running. Now, this caused his webbed feet to become so badly worn, he became only average in swimming. But average was quite acceptable, so no one worried about it, except the duck. Now, the rabbit started out at the top of her class in running, but after a while, she developed this twitch in her leg from all of the time spent in the water trying to improve her swimming. At the end of the semester, she received a D+ in running. The squirrel was a peak performer when climbing, but experienced constant frustration when trying to fly. His body became so badly worn from all the landings that he could only get a C in climbing and a D in running. Now, the eagle was a problem student. He was severely disciplined for being a nonconformist. In climbing class, he would always beat everyone else to the top of the tree, but insisted, rather, in using his way to get there. So he got an incomplete. The eagle was a problem child. Well, you get the point. Each creature has been created with a specific area of expertise. We have been given spiritual gifts or areas in which we will excel. Unless, of course, we're spending all of our time doing things that God never created us to do. Let's help focus on what this text has to say by three concluding but very, very important statements. Number one, each person has a gift. Notice in verse 7, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. Now, he or she may have more than one gift, but one for sure. That is your hard wiring. That doesn't mean that you can't do other gifts. You can't say, well, you know, I can't clean up after we have a dinner at the church because I don't have the gift of helps. No, that's not the way it works. It doesn't mean that we can't function in other areas. You can't say to yourself, well, I can't endure this trial because I don't have the gift of faith. No, you find that the gifts overlap. You find that there is growth in gifts. There is such a thing as exercising those gifts that aren't really your best form of ministry. But everyone has one kind of a gift where they excel and where they are fulfilled. And if properly trained, they can serve effectively. To each one is given the gift of the Spirit. I feel sorry for people who don't know what their gifts are. People who have never unwrapped their gift, they have never taken the time to figure out who they really are and which of the gifts suits them the best. And next week we're going to give you the opportunity to find some help in doing that. But I want you to notice that everyone has a gift. In all of the listings of gifts in the New Testament, whether in Romans or in Ephesians or in this passage, nowhere is there a distinction made between the gifts that men have and the gifts that women have. I take it from the New Testament that women can exercise all of the gifts that are listed as many different gifts as men themselves are able to exercise. God makes no distinction within the body. Now, we do believe that when it comes to the offices of the church, when it comes to the responsibility, for example, of elders, that in the Bible there is, therefore, male leadership in those categories. But so far as gifting is concerned, so far as service is concerned, God makes no such distinction. Now, I want you to notice that there are three different kinds of gifts. There are speaking gifts, which sometimes are exalted, the gift of teaching, the gift of being an apostle, or the gift of sharing as an exhorter. There are speaking gifts. There are sign gifts. And they are the ones that cause the controversy today, because even in the early church, after the early church, as you look at church history, many of these miraculous gifts somehow died away. And even during periods of revival, they never took place, because the apostles were able to do some very special gifts they received. 2 Corinthians 12:12, the apostle Paul says, I was able to do the signs of an apostle. But you have speaking gifts, you then have sign gifts, and you have the service gifts, administration, helps, etc. Now, what the Apostle Paul is trying to help us to see today is that we matter and we fit somewhere. And the body of Jesus Christ is made weaker if we're not serving, and it is made stronger if we serve. But someplace, somewhere, we fit. God created us to be a part of the body. To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. It's interesting that the Apostle Paul calls the more ordinary gifts, such as administrating or helping or words of wisdom and knowledge, he considers those also to be the manifestation of the Spirit, just as much as the miraculous gifts that are listed in the passage. So everyone has a gift. Secondly, if you're dissatisfied with your gift, you are dissatisfied with your God. Notice what it says very clearly in verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually. I love that. This is not just a coat off the rack. This is tailor-made. This is a gift that suits you exactly, because God knows exactly how you were put together. He was there when you were formed in your mother's womb. And he gave you all of your hard wiring, as it were. Now, we can change the software, but there's nothing that we can do with the basic, raw way God made us. But notice, this was not happenstance. Distributing to each one individually just as he wills. Do you realize that God was there when you were created? Some of us look into the mirror and we wonder where he was when we were put together. But I want you to know today that you can be satisfied with the way you look. Now, there are things that you can do to improve it. There are New Year's resolutions that you can make that will bear fruit if you're consistent for 365 days. But fundamentally, we've been created by God. Our appearance and our giftedness is a part of who we are. And if we are dissatisfied, we argue with God. In next week's message, I'm going to emphasize the great need in the church of the lifting up, of the encouragement, of the unseen gifts. Because there are some gifts that get all the attention, but it's the unseen ones. It's the ones that we don't think are important that Paul is going to say later on are very important to the body. Are you happy with the way God created you? Are you happy with the way in which you fit within the body? And then finally, and most importantly, it seems to me that giftedness involves givingness. That is to say that when you read this passage, the reason that the Spirit of God has poured out gifts upon the church is that we might do service for the common good. And that means that we extend ourselves, that we commit ourselves, that we become involved, that we sacrifice for the body. That's the whole point of giftedness. Now, Moody Church is a big church, and sometimes we have people come to us who are hurting, and they've maybe had a bad experience in another church. Recently, I heard about some folks like that, and they come and they may sit in the back, and they may leave at the time of the benediction, and they're here to heal, and they're here to rethink and to regroup, and that's perfectly fine. We welcome you. We welcome all who come to the church for whatever reason, obviously. But there does come a time, even in the lives of people like that, over a period of perhaps 6 months or a year, when they decide that this is going to be their congregation. This is where God has led them, and it is time at that point to commit and to say, if this is where God led us, this is now where we serve and we pray and we work and where we exercise our gifts within this body. And I want to speak to some of you who've been around a while and you've never committed to this church. I want to speak to you for a moment. I don't believe that it's just a mistake. I don't believe that it's just an oversight. I don't believe that it's just a bad idea, but I believe that it is an actual sin. A sin before God to have people who benefit from the body but who refuse to contribute to the body. It is a sin for some people to say, "Preach to me, sing to me, keep the church warm for me. When I'm sick, visit me. And when I'm distressed, counsel me and publish your bulletin for me. But just see if I'll give my time, my talents, my energies, and my money to the church." That is a sin. A sin. And that accounts for the weakness of many a local church and a weakness in the body of Jesus Christ. Read verse 11 again. "To one and the same Spirit, he works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills." Why? Verse 7, "For the common good." God has gifted you that you might serve the body and strengthen it, that we might have a better witness to the world. Do you realize that the Lord Jesus is never going to say to you, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, for thou hast listened to 2,647 messages, and twice that number of choir numbers, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." It's not going to happen that way. You read the context of those words, it is where God says, "I am gifting you, and I am giving you the talents, and I am giving you money, and I am giving you the ability to serve, and I am giving you the body, and you had better serve within it, or else you will miss out." If you go into our own lobby area there, you can see a list of those who served in World War II, I believe it is. And most churches have a list of people like that. And one day there is this story, which some of you perhaps have heard, of a little boy who looked up and saw this list. And he said, "Mommy, who are these people?" And she said, "Well," she said, "son, those are the ones who died in the service." He said, "Oh, really?" He said, "Which one, the morning or the evening?" Today I'm talking to some of you who, for all practical purposes, have died in the service. But I'm also asking you before God to ask him a question. And the question is, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Where do I fit to help us accomplish the goal of being known in the city of Chicago as a caring, culturally diverse community that seeks to see lives changed by the gospel message? And we need every single one of you, every one of you, to be on board and to say, 'Here are my gifts, here are my talents.'" And there are times when we are laid aside and God gives us a different gift. You remember what the Apostle Paul says, "Ye helping together by prayer." There is always something you can do until you're dead. Then we make no more requirements and we add no more burden upon you. But until then, we contribute toward the body. And now a footnote. There are some of you who for whom this message is far too far along in your own spiritual development. You have to go back a step. And you go back a step and realize that you have not received the supreme gift yet. And that is the gift of salvation, which is a free gift. It is given to those who believe in Christ. And when you receive that free gift, you become a member of the body of Jesus Christ. God will work in your life to help you see what your gift is, and then you'll begin to contribute. But to receive Christ and the gift of salvation is the first thing that you must do. And if you do not know that you have done that, you probably haven't. And even today, you can believe in him. Let us pray. Our Father, we want to thank you today that Jesus Christ has gifted his people. We read this, and Lord, we are astounded at your word, which says so clearly that individually, you have gifted us according to the way you will. Make us satisfied. But Father, we think of those who, because of fear, have never unwrapped their gift. Those who, because of misunderstanding and bitterness in their lives that they have never confessed, have alienated themselves from the body. They've cut themselves off from the very source of strength that could help them. Oh, Father, bring them to repentance today, that there may be no schism in the body, but that there might be the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. May no one in these weeks before us leave Moody Church without knowing where he or she fits, both within the walls and outside the walls of this church. And grant to those who have never believed the wonderful gift of eternal life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, my friend, if you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you become a part of the body of Christ. And within that body, you are given a spiritual gift. You know, a spiritual gift is basically a divine ability for service. And the Bible lists about 19 different gifts, and I've covered some of them in the message that you have just heard. Some of you may have the gift of administration, the gift of teaching. I believe that my own primary gift is probably exhortation. That is, the ability to try to connect with people, teach them God's word, and to see a transformation happen within their lives. But this has been my experience. When you discover what your gift is, you begin to serve within that capacity with a sense of fulfillment. Now, perhaps you say you are too old and weary to serve. Would you pray for us? Would you ask God to bless us? That also is divine service. There are some people who are more committed to save the whales than we are committed to save souls.
Commitment, the outworking of a lifestyle of worship.
My friend, today, worship does not stop at 12 o'clock on Sunday. Worship happens 24 hours a day because worship means that I have given my body to God as a sacrifice for him to use it as he wills. It is worship that is acceptable to God.
Worship, the way to find where you fit.
Will you remember that you have been created by God for his glory? You have been saved for his glory, and now you represent Christ for his glory wherever you may work, serve, or live.
And we do so because of a prime motivation.
What we believe in and of itself does not give us a visible difference from the world. If you're going to speak about visible difference, you have to go back to the words of Jesus Christ. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one toward another.
Finding Where You Fit, a series that unlocks the door to joyful service in your local church. These four messages can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support the outreach of Running to Win. Call right now at 888-218-9337. That's 888-218-9337. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Online, reach us at rtwoffer.com. That's rtwoffer.com. Christians are blessed to be part of an invisible assembly, the body of Christ worldwide that transcends denominational barriers. Next time on Running to Win, why it's so vital that we understand the body of Christ and our part in it. We'll turn again to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and learn about finding your place. Running to Win is all about helping you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. Thanks for listening. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is sponsored by the Moody Church.